So it's almost Christmas Day. Almost. Yet we sang a song called It's Christmas, or as it was humorously introduced as the Clip Clop song. Let me read for you the first verse. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. It paints this idyllic, calm, peaceful scene.
Even the melody does. Away in a manger. And you just get this.
It's so nice. And then, as Paul Harvey used to say, then there's the rest of the story, or I call it the backstory behind the song. Okay? Joseph and Mary have been traveling about 80 miles on foot. She gets to ride the donkey sometimes. Sometimes she walks to relieve her stressed position and the bumps, 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 bumps
of the donkey's little pace. And, you know, 80 miles, I backpacked last summer around Three Sisters. That was 100 miles. We averaged sometimes 12 miles, sometimes 14, 16. And we had a purpose. We were, you know, in a hurry to get around the mountains. I just can't imagine that they were in a hurry. They had to get to Bethlehem before the census or for the census, but it wasn't like they were racing, okay? But that meant they still had to travel every day. You get up, you get ready, you travel, okay? She's in her 9th month of pregnancy. Ever taken a long train or a car ride, women, when you're pregnant, you're firstborn? There's the uncomfortable bladder, your back hurts, maybe you've had labor, it's maybe false labor. It's like the donkey doesn't have a reclining seat with a headrest and a pillow, okay? It's a donkey. So they get where they're supposed to be. But they forgot to make reservations. I mean, you know, I remember there were several trips with my kids. Mostly we camped, but several times just with my wife, we would travel back to Minnesota. It's a couple of days by car. And every once in a while, we would sort of abandon our plans and just drive to the next town and say to ourselves, oh, we can get a motel, no problem. And we would get there, and more often than not, there'd be some obscure cowboy music festival or art festival or some other reason, and every motel was booked. So I come back to the car with the news. Not a happy camper greeting me. So here comes Joseph back to the donkey. Sorry, we have to look somewhere else. What was that like? How did that conversation go? I don't know. I mean, they were rookies at this going to the place of your birth for census. It wasn't like it happened all the time. And nobody told them what to expect. So, you know, they finally find a place, and he comes back and says, oh, yeah, the guy says we can sleep over there. Yeah, in the barn or whatever it was. I mean, we have in our heads this idea of what it might have looked like, but how many of you have ridden on a donkey for 5 days in a row at 9 months pregnant, right? Or walked that far beside your wife? I mean, how many bathroom stops does it take for your kids when they were little? You know, I gotta go. Okay. I mean, you know, it just wasn't this idyllic, peaceful trip. At least I don't think it was. Okay, so they finally get to where they're going to spend the night. And of course, you know, when you get to where you want to be, you've arrived. What do you want to do? You want to relax. You want to crash. You're tired. So were they. But no. there's a baby on the way. So I'm guessing, according to the story we read in Luke, that she either already had started contractions or they shortly began. And it's not like Joseph's a labor and delivery doc. It's his first time. It's her first time. What do they do? Who told them? Was there a class before they left? I doubt it. So they get there. They're exhausted. Baby comes. They don't have any time to rest, or not much. And then they have to clean up after the birth. I don't know what they had. It's kind of messy. Okay? Eventually, Jesus is born. Mary and Joseph were able to clean up with whatever they had at hand. And then what do you think they were thinking? Same thing you and I would be thinking after the elation of the baby and the smiles and you know, whatever. And then you want to go to sleep. You want to rest. You've been traveling. You've been up all night or whatever time they arrived. Did they have that luxury? No. Somebody called a bunch of shepherds and said, hey, you got to come check this out. So right about the time they're ready to doze off, I don't know if there was a knock at the door or whatever, but here comes a bunch of guys. Hey, we want to see the king. We want to see baby Jesus. Well, if Mary and Joseph, and I think they were proper Jews, they offered some kind of hospitality because you just don't like turn people away and say, get out of here. So whatever food they had or drink they had, they tried to be proper hosts. And that meant you'd get to visit and hang out, pass the baby, or I don't know. But eventually the shepherds go back and they're all excited. And then, you know, Mary and Joseph have another adrenaline surge and now they're trying to go to sleep. And about the time they're starting to crash, the song, according to our song, says, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. Are you kidding me? Have you ever been 10 feet away from a cow that decides to moo? There's no sleeping. And who knows what other animals were in the barn? I mean, it's just not away in a manger, no crib. Come on. Okay. So, I get it that the writer of the song is trying to paint a picture of quietness and serenity and the wonder of the event. But the emotional strain of trying to find a place, give birth, clean up, have company, and then be surrounded by a bunch of animals, it's a different story. I suspect they were up all night. And as the sun peeked its head up over the horizon, and they were starting to nod off, guess who needed to be fed or changed? It was like, and your mothers, you know, that's just the beginning. Every 2 hours for the next 2 years. Okay, so what's my point? The song paints this idyllic picture of peace and calmness, both then and now in our hearts. But the reality of life is often quite different. From our earthly point of view, it can be messy, it can be difficult, and even despairing, the circumstances that God allows into our lives. So for those of you who know this Jesus, like the words of the song, we ask him to be near us. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. And we ask him to be with us, to help us in our hour of need. Psalm 145, 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And Acts 2:21, the writer says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, the song continues in verse 3. I just said it. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Well, in the song, the word children makes me think literally of children, humans who are under the age of 16 or whatever you think of as a child. But John, the writer John in chapter 1 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So if you have received this gift of Jesus, you are a child of God. Is that you? Have you received this gift? Jesus, Savior of the world? Or is your gift still unwrapped? And you're thinking, I get it. Jesus came to save the world, but, you know, I'm not ready. I don't think I need saving. Maybe I want to have a little more time to enjoy life. You know, those Christians, they have too many rules, and they never have any fun. I say to you, think again. John 3:16, which you all know well, through 18, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him, Jesus, is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus. If you think you can wait, think again. So perhaps there's somebody here tonight listening to my voice who has not received this gift from heaven, this gift of Jesus, whose birth we celebrate and the song speaks about. Perhaps God allowed you to be here this night just so you could hear this simple message, so you too could believe in him and have the right to be called children, a child of God, to have your sins forgiven, to know that you will always have God with you. As the words of the song say, be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. And if God has been speaking quietly to you tonight and saying, come to me if you're weary and I will give you rest, then you can answer him with words or in your mind, and you can say, God, I need you. I want to be your child. I want this free gift. Please come into my life. Teach me your ways. He promises he will. God cannot go back on his own word. He promises that as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become children of God. If you do that tonight, then the angels in heaven will be rejoicing just like they did the night that Jesus was born on this earth. And if you do this, you should tell somebody tonight before you leave this room the good news that you are now a child of God. Then you, like the rest of us, will be able to relate to the end of the song. It's Christmas. The angels are singing, and I know the reason the Savior is born. It's Christmas. The bells are ringing, and I feel like shouting joy to the world.